Okay, we're up to Perichav Tes, Pasik Chaf. Pasik Chaf Aleph. Okay, we begin now. We begin now a new section. A new topic. Koyim Hashem Tzavach HaSoyis. So says Hashem Tzavach HaSoyis. Okay, Yisrael El Acha Ben Koloya. The El Tzidkiyahu Ben Ma'aseya. Hanibim Lochem B'Shmi Shaker. To these two individuals who prophesy my name falsely, you will be punished. Hinani Noisin Osam B'Yad Nevuchad Retzar. Okay, notice here we go back to the Reish. Instead of Nun Reish, Melech Bavel, V'hikam Le'enehem, and they will be smitten V'hikam Le'enehem, and they will be smitten. Hashem will strike them down before your eyes. Okay, so here we are referring to two people. We really do not know that much about these two people. One thing I want to clarify is that when it says here, Tzidkiyo ben Ma'aseya, this is not Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. This is a different individual. Okay, so we're dealing with two people. These two people were the leaders of the false prophets. We're going to see over here some very interesting things about these people, but in any event, Hashem now is delivering a message to Yirmiyah in regard to these two people. These two people, that they're going to be smitten in the presence, they're going to be taken down in the presence of Klal Yisrael. What's going to happen? The Lukach Mehem Klala, from them it will be extracted a curse. In other words, what will happen to them will be so horrific that when one man would want to curse his fellow man, which is a person in the world would want to curse someone, they would say it should happen to you like what happened to these two people, to Achav ben Koloya and Tzidkiyahu ben Maaseh. The same thing should happen to you like what happened to them. L'chol Golus Yehuda, Asher B'Bavel Leymar, it will be taken from them a curse for all the people who live in Bavel, saying, they'll get a report of what happened to when people will see what will happen to these people, they will say, Yisimcha Hashem, may Hashem make you kitzidkiyo uche'echov, like tzidkiyo and echov, asher kola melech bavel ba'esh, to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu toasted in fire. Why? Why are they going to suffer this horrible fate? Yan, because asher osu nevola b'Yisrael, they have committed a nevola, something that is disgusting, Yisrael, v'yina'afu es d'shei re'ehem, they have committed adultery. They have committed adultery with the wives of their friends. Vayidabru davar b'shrim shaker, and also they spoke falsehood in my name. Asher lo tzivisim, which I did not command. V'yanochi hayodea, Hashem says it is I who knows, vo'ed, and who is a witness, noam Hashem. Okay, so we have over here a basic prophecy in regard to two people. We don't really know from outside the context of these psukim what these people did. Sometimes you have a people, you have an individual, you have an entire story, and then when the story is over, Yirmiyah comes along and he says there's going to be punishment to these people. We know what the context is. Here we don't know the context. We only know from the curse, from the message, what's going to happen to them about what they did. And the few bits and pieces that we can extract from the psukim is, number one, they were Nevi'im. That's how it starts off. It starts off that Nevi'im lochem b'shmi shaker, they give over prophecy, false prophecy in my name. And then it makes mention that they consorted with their friends' wives, Neshei Re'ehem. And then it says, Vayidabru davar b'shmi shaker asher lo tzivisim. They said things in my name that I did not command. Now that seemingly is not the same as what it says in the beginning of the section of Nevi'im. In other words, they were, first of all, they were false prophets. Number two, they committed adultery. Number three, they were just liars. They were just liars in their daily affairs, not necessarily in relating to words of prophecy. Three different types of averos for which they're going to suffer a curse. The curse is, as it says over here, a number of things. Number one is they're going to be taken down. V'hikom le'enechem, they're going to be smitten, which I'm not sure exactly what that means after we see the next thing. And they're going to be toasted in fire. They're going to be put, we're going to see, it doesn't say they're going to be burned, but they're going to be toast like kernels of grain. And the horror that will happen to them will seem so enormous that everyone who is aware of what happened will refer to them and say that the same thing that happened to them should happen to all of our enemies, and they'll use them as a source of a curse. Now let's see them before the first the Mitzudos. Mitzudos start with Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Elacha, Ve'al Acha, Ve'al Tzidkiyah. So this we have already 1,000 times. Al is the same thing. El is the same thing as Al, concerning these two individuals. Sheker, Davar Shalot CVC. Then the first sin was they gave over words of prophecy that I did not command. Vihikam. Okay, so here the Mitzudos comes to clarify what does it mean vihikam? It's an lema yimisem. They will put them to death. I guess the next pasuk tells us the method how they will be put to death by being put in a furnace, being burnt. L'chol galus, l'chol b'nei ha-goyla, le'mar, sh'yamu b'kililasam yisimcha Hashem k'tzidkiya. When anyone in galus will want to curse their friend, they will say, the same that happened to them should happen to you. Yan b'kuz b'avush asu nevola. What was the disgusting thing that they did? V'zanu im nishay re'ehem. They committed adultery. V'yoyit sheinis. The second thing they did was, shedibu b'shmi shaker. They spoke in my name shaker. It doesn't say prophecy, it says Vaidabu Davar Bishmi Sheker, and I think we'll see in the Medrash a more precise meaning of what that means. Ha Yodua, okay, Pasuk of Gimel says, Hashem says, it is I, V'yonochi Hayodeya, it is I who know, Asher Dibu Sheker, it is I who knows they spoke false, Kiloit Sivisim, I did not command them, Vo'ed, Kiri'isi, Esa Sher No'afu, Hashem says, you may not be aware, but I am aware that they have committed adultery. Let's see Rashi, starting with Pasuk of Aleph, Chaf Beis, Asher Kolas. Kolas means to burn. We would expect the Pasuk to say Asher Bi'er. Instead, the Pasuk says that these two people will suffer the fate of being Kolas, which is to be toasted like a kernel. The difference between being burnt and being toasted is if you put the object directly in the fire or you put the object on a pit.
Right? It's
kolam,
right?
Kolam. Okay, I have a mistake then in my text. You have in your Rashi, what do you have in your Rashi? The Samach or Mem? In the Dibur HaMaschil?
Hard to say.
It's hard to say?
But okay. It makes more sense.
Kolam.
Kolam. Yeah, because Koli, so yeah. It would be...
Toast, right, with the mem, with the mem. You have a mem, okay. Sometimes the Radak in the Dibur HaMaschil, he had a different girsa. Lashon Kolui Bo'esha means to be toasted, or sorry, Rashi means to be toasted in fire. Pasuk of Gimel Vayinu Afu Es Neshei Re'ehem, K'moshim Mefurish B'Sanhedrin, this is a Gemara which I'm going to quote you, read the whole Gemara in a few moments, what exactly they did, and that opens up a much deeper understanding into the meaning of the Pesukim here. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechvi Im Chaverai, they said, they would tell people, they, you know, we'll read soon in a moment what this means. If you go and you tell a person, do not bear with you, they're not going to listen, because they're going to say, you're a liar. But when you have nothing to gain from it, then they believe you. The person comes, I had a vision, and in the vision it said that you, speaking to a woman, should live with so-and-so. So the woman says, why would he tell me this if it was not true? He has nothing to gain from this. It must be he's saying the truth. And she would listen, she would go and live with a man that's not her husband and commit adultery. The truth was, why did he do this? Because his friend was doing the same thing for him. His friend...
They were swingers.
Exactly. They would go and they would... It's like the famous... I told you the story about that there too. Two people dressed up as Santa. During the Hanukkah season. There's two fellows who go in front of Macy's. One gets dressed up like Santa Claus, and the other gets dressed up like someone from Bar Park. You know, a frum collector with a beard and teis, and they're sitting in front of Macy's. And one is ringing the bell in this nice Santa Claus costume, asking for donations. And the shliach is doing the same thing. And no one is giving any money to the shliach. And Santa Claus is just raking it in. So a frum fellow, he passes by and he sees this fellow, this collector from Eretz Yisrael. And he says to him, you know, I want to help you out. You're not going to do well over here. You know, in front of Macy's, next to Santa Claus, you're not going to be matzliach. You should go to a different location and you'll make some money. So the shliach, he turns to Santa Claus and he says, Yanko, you hear? He's telling us how to make money. It was a technique. It was a technique. You see someone from a collective, from Eretz Yisrael, so dafka, you give to Santa Claus, and Santa Claus... Okay, alright, self-understood. So that's exactly what they did over here. These two fellows, they were two people, Achav, I'll read you the Gemara in a few moments, Achav and Tzidkiyahu, they went and they covered up for one another, they had a plan, I will, who do you want to commit adultery with? And each one played the game for the other, and that's how they benefited. And that's what it says over here. And in punishment for this, Akadosh Baruch Hu destroyed them, toasted them like a kernel. Going back to what I said before, what is the difference between being toasted and being burnt? Why didn't the pasuk say be'er or bo'aram? So the answer is when you burn something, you throw it directly into the fire. When you toast something, you put it on a tray, on a metal utensil, and you let it become hot and over the fire, and it burns. Why did the Nebuchadnezzar choose to put them? He toasted them. He put them on a metal tray, and he put them on the fire because he wanted people to see their remains. If he would put them into the fire directly, then they would turn into dust. They would turn into ash. There would be nothing left of them, and it would not serve as a warning for the future. By toasting them, their remains, the shape of their body would remain. So, and their bodies would be put on display. So when people would come by and would see what happened to them, they would serve as a reminder that they should not do these things. Hananya Mishlov Azaryo. So we're going to come to that in a few moments. That's exactly what the Medrash mentions. Let's see first here what it says in the Radak. Pasuk Chof Beis Uve Achav Hakatan Hiktin Shmo Lignai. So Achav, the Aleph is the in Pasuk Chof Beis. We shortened his name. How do we shorten his name? Uche Achav the Aleph.
The
Aleph is, but in our version we do have the Aleph.
The second Aleph.
Yeah, we do have Uche'ach. In my version, I have the second Aleph. In my text. Don't you have in your text?
No. Uche'ach of.
What?
It says Uche'ach of.
Yeah. It doesn't read that.
Oh, I'm sorry. The second Achav. I'm sorry. Pasuk of Beis. I was looking at the wrong Pasuk. I'm sorry. The second Pasuk, the second Aleph indeed is missing. Hikdin Shemo Lignai. That's common. V'yesh Toisefes Lignai. Ha minun achecha, that's the name of a person, and there there's an extra yud. So sometimes the point over here is that sometimes when you change a person's name, when you don't pronounce his name the correct way, that is an expression of ginai. To give a person a nickname, you're really coming to degrade him, and sometimes the nickname is by leaving out letters, sometimes the nickname is by adding letters. Kaleim Sarfam, he burned them, min kalui ba'esh, it comes from the word kalui, to be toasted in fire. Pasuk of Gimel, v'nochi ha'yodeh v'eid, Hashem says, these individuals committed adultery, they think that they do not, that no one knows, that Hashem does not know, that's not true. Yodeh she'heim medarim sheker b'shmi, first of all, I know they're speaking sheker b'shmi. The Yod, I also know, Shenuafu es neshei re'ehem, that they have committed adultery. Yonasan Tirgim, the Golei Kodamai, it is revealed before me, Umeimri Sohid, and my word testifies. Umeimri Sohid, I am a witness. Hashem says, I am going to bear testimony against these people. My words will bear testimony what they have done. It's a kriv. The word yodea is spelled, the vav and the yud are in the wrong order. Ha yodea. Why? For whatever reason, that's how it's written over here. Now let me read you the entire story. Unfortunately, this story has repeated itself in history many times. At least one prat, and has been this topic, the subject of much halachic, it's a very big halachic shaila, what the status of the women are in this situation. Okay, most of the time, these women are usher to their husbands. Let's go through this piece by piece. There are different versions of this. I'm going to read you from the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. This also appears in the Medrash. Okay, so here we go. My Ovud, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Gimel asks the question, what exactly did they do? These two individuals, it does not say anywhere in the Psukim the detailed account of what they did. We only know it indirectly and from tradition. So the Gemara says, Ozul Lagabi Brate Dinavuchadnezzar. Now, this was when they got caught. According to the Mefarshim, they did this with the technique that it mentions over here was done to the common man, to the common woman. And we're just cutting to the chase is when they finally got caught. They went to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. In another Girsa, it says they went to the wife of Nebuchadnezzar. Achav Omar Law, this man by the name of Achav, not of course to be confused with Achav the Melech, that's a different tkufa, that was a long, long time ago, he wasn't alive by now. Achav Omar Law, Koy Omar Hashem, I'm reading you this, come on, you don't have this in front of you, I'm reading this from the Gemara. Koy Omar Hashem, Hashmi'i El Tzidkiyah, listen to Tzidkiyah. I'm telling you that I had a vision, and in my vision I saw that a man by the name of Tzidke is going to come knocking on the door and is going to ask you to do with him an Avera. It's not an Avera. Listen to Tzidkiyah. Tzidkiyah did the same thing. But Tzidkiyah Omar, Tzidkiyah did the same thing with the very same woman. Omar, he said that he had a vision, Koymer Hashem, Hashmi El Achav. So both of these men wanted to live with this woman. She must have been a very beautiful woman. Hashmi El Achav. So what did she do? So here is where they got caught. They messed around with the wrong woman. So she went to her father and told Nebuchadnezzar that there are two Jews, two very prominent Jews. They were very prominent because they were Nevi'im. They were recognized as being prophets, and they're coming to ask her to live with them. Now the Medrash fills in more details that it does not say in the Gemara. They told her, not only should they live with each one of them, but that she should become pregnant and have a child. And this child will be the savior of the world. That's what it says in the Medrash. Now, as I mentioned before, this is not the first time, this was not the last time something like this happened, yeah? I didn't bring it with me, it's in my other volume. I don't know. I have it in my other volume. I couldn't schlep it. So I have to go somewhere afterwards. I left it home. But this child will be the savior. Now, by the way, now, so the question over here is: this woman was a clever woman. She knew to check it out. She went to her father. What would happen, indeed, if a woman would listen? And this has happened, unfortunately, this has happened in history, where people have taken advantage of gullible women, and they have told them that, I'm a tzaddik, I'm a tzaddik, you know my reputation, and you should live with me, and we're going to have a child, and don't tell your husband, and make believe the child is from your husband, and the child will be the Mashiach Hashem. And she did, and she listens, and she gets pregnant, or even if she does not get pregnant, is she allowed to return to her husband? Because the halacha is a woman that willingly has an illicit relationship with a man who is not her husband, becomes a sota in halacha and is forbidden to return to her husband forever. On the other hand, if a woman is raped, if it is done to her against her will, she is permitted to return to her husband, provided that she is not a kohen, provided that she, I'm sorry, the husband is not a kohen. So the question in halacha is: this type of situation considered an oines, or is it considered rotzayin? If a woman is gullible and she falls for this garbage, and she lives with a man who is not her husband because he convinces her that he is Mashiach, he is Eliyahu Hanavi, what is the halacha? So it's not so clear. From what it appears is that ruba de ruba, there's no excuse. And indeed, it's considered as if she did it willingly, and she's not allowed to return to her husband. That appears to be the consensus, the major consensus. Obviously, every situation is different, so you can't generalize anything in halacha, because every situation is different, but that appears to be the major consensus. And unfortunately, this type of situation is discussed. There are many stories like this. Many stories like this, and this appears to be the first. This appears to be the on record, at least, going back. What?
But it's the same line they use all the time?
Modern stories. Modern day. I even heard a story like this very recently. I heard a story only 3 months ago.
How'd that go?
I don't know what the end was. But
what was the line?
What?
Yeah, same line?
Same line. Same line. I don't know, Shiach. Same type of, I don't know the exact details, but it was all with the same nusach, the same sprach. The details may change slightly, and this becomes a major nightmare in halacha, what the status of this woman is with regard to her husband, if she is allowed to return. Most of the...
Cult
leaders, but you'd be surprised. Even people who are not cult leaders, people who are just overcome
the
with
Jewish version.
There are all different types, and it all starts.
A man went over to the woman and said, "Have a baby with me, it'll be a big tzaddik." So that might be inspired.
That's the line. What?
You don't know if it was. That's why it's important to teach Benos Yisrael yeshivas.
Exactly. This is.
Well, that's what the Gemara says. Shlo you Benos Yisrael Rutsa Barayis. That's one of the things it says. You want
to. But let's say you have a woman who is indeed gullible. Totally, she never went to Beis Yaakov. She never, and this happens. Can you really say that she was an oinus? I mean, it's human nature. There are certain things that are built in. You know it's wrong. That is part of the topic of discussion. But here we have the first known record of someone trying to pull off this type of story. Now, Ozla v'Amr le'Lavua. So she went to her father. Here is where they got caught. She went to her father. She went to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, "I'm suspicious. I don't believe this." Even though these two people have a reputation, he googled them and he saw these were the big, big rabbanim. They were very influential people. And Omar Law, obviously there's something more going on behind the story. We don't really relate to this because just like Chazal said that the Yetzirah, we have to say something, we don't have Bizman as a Yetzirah for, I'm not defending them, don't worry. We don't have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. To us, it's the most bizarre thing for a person to bow down to a piece of wood or stone. It just doesn't make any sense. And Chazal said it was a real desire. The same way we can relate to the Yetzirah of an Ish V'Isha. We understand what that's all about, especially someone who's very young. Someone, an adolescent, the taiva is incredibly intense. And we can relate to that. The people have the same exact Yetzirah to worship idols. That's not finished. Chazal say the Yetzirah, so we're at least Baruch Hashem spared Bizman Hazeh from the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. But Chazal also say that it used to be the Yetzirah for Nashim was double. So could you imagine what society would be today if everyone would double their Yetzirah for Nashim? Could you imagine what would be going on in this world? It's bad enough the way it is. Okay, you see what goes on in this world, the whole world, Shtuf Ezima, double. So then, it's double. Plus, you also have in your mind this thing, this crazy Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. The two of them, they work together. It's not just that, it's two different lines. There's the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah and the Yetzirah for Nashim. The two work together. So it's infinitely greater. How do we? Because Chazal said the only reason why people wanted to worship Avodah Zarah was ordered to be licensed to be engaged in arayos, in illicit relationships. So that's a very powerful Chazal, which means that it's not just that it was double. There was the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah and the Yetzirah for Nashim. The sum is greater than the parts. So we have absolutely no way to understand how the average person was able to maintain a degree of moral discipline in ancient times. But we also have to understand that Zeh Le'uma Zeh Bore Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always keeps the Nisayon, always keeps the balance equal. They were given enormous koichos of spirituality. The average person, when they daven the Shmona Esrei, it was filled with divine revelation. They were spiritually uplifted people because there was a flow, a shefa of spirituality that came down to the world to counteract the very great intense degree of desire for Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos. So the story obviously is very bizarre, and we laugh at it. How stupid could they be already to go to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar and try to pull this off? Today you got to be insane, and especially with dealing with people that were very influential. These are people that were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. They were accepted to be prophets. They were to be a sheker.
Maybe they did it for the better good. Maybe they wanted to generate
it. It was some complicated CIA, like some spy novel.
Probably the but Esther gave up her.
That's right. But Esther was already, Esther is someone that we can a teeny teeny mashum relate to, because Esther was already after the Yetzar, well, was it where the bottle was the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, or maybe not.
Esther was during Gaul's bottle.
Gaul, so it was before the Yetzar Hara was taken away, right? It was before. So in Echanan, we can't even relate to Esther. You're right, we can't even relate to Esther, same thing. All right, it is what it is. Let's leave it the way it is. But this is something it's hard to relate to, but we have to understand we really can't relate to these people in any shape or form. Obviously, what they did was a horrible avera, and they suffered the consequences we're going to see in a moment. But just you have to try to put everything in perspective. Fine. So this shows she goes to her father. That's very interesting that she had the courage to go to her father and tell her father what's going on. Omar law. Now this is also very fascinating. The Nebuchadnezzar says, it doesn't make sense because I know the Jewish religion very, very well. Elokeihem shel elu soine zimuhu. The God of the Jews hates promiscuity. He hates arayos. It cannot possibly be, because the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a soine zima. So therefore, Nebuchadnezzar instructed his daughter, ki asu legabach, when they come back to you, or basically bring them along. In other words, go along with it in order, like it's a sting operation. Let's set up a sting operation. Shadrinu legabai, bring them to me. I'll be waiting inside when they come to do the avera. Ki asu legabach, Shadrisinu legabe avua. So she set them up. They were caught. They were sent to the Nebuchadnezzar. Amaluhu, man omar lechon. They came to the Nebuchadnezzar. The Nebuchadnezzar said, "Who told you to do this? What's going on over here?" Amru. So they continued to play to maintain their side of the story. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem told us. Achav and Sidkiah said, Hashem told us to do this. They continued in their lie. So Nebuchadnezzar says, cannot be, but what about V'Hochananya, Mishov V'Azariah, Shaltinu? I already made an investigation. I asked Hananya, Mishov V'Azariah, the three people that were thrown into the furnace and who survived, and they were living. And that's also very interesting, because some are of the opinion that Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, after they came out of the fire, they immediately died. They survived, right? It's a chazal. They survived. And then, after they survived, a week later, a few days later, they died. So here it says that Nebuchadnezzar consulted with Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, if there could be such a thing where Hashem would tell a person to be mezaneh with something else. So they were still alive. So this chazal is different than the other chazal that says that they died right away. Okay, va'amrulu, and they told me.
The intern.
So maybe you're right. Maybe it was that very short period of time. Everything happened so fast. In that very short period of time, they tried to pull this off. Va'amrulu, they told me. Also, they said to me that it is also. They said it's impossible for such a thing to be. Amrule. So these two people, Achav and Tzidkiah, says, why do you believe them more than us? They claim they're true prophets. We're also true prophets. Now this response is very important, because it explains why these psukim are presented here in this section. These psukim are presented right after we went through in the perek where we're dealing with Hananya ben Azar. Hananya ben Azar made the claim that I am a true prophet. why should the people believe Yirmiyah more than they believe me? And this is especially true according to what we learned, that the Hananya ben Ezar in the beginning, before they turned sour, were indeed true prophets. So now when they predicted that there's nothing going to happen, that in 2 years, within 2 years, Yechonia and the Choresh v'Hamasker and the Kalim are going to return to Eretz Yisrael, believe us. Why are you believing Yirmiyah when you can believe us? Now again, we're coming to the same exact theme. That's why this section is juxtaposed to Hananya ben Ezar. There is a dilemma. Who is the real prophet? Will the real prophet please stand up? Here we have Hananya, Meshova, Azariah claiming that they are the true prophets, and they have proof. We went into a furnace and we survived, and we're saying that it cannot be Hashem would tell a person to commit adultery.
Isn't that the answer?
What? That's what the Ruchana said. Okay, he says that's right. They have been proven, and you have not been vetted. They've been vetted already to be the real deal. You have not been vetted. Now it could very well be. Let's make an assumption. Let's make an assumption that maybe these two people, if they had such great stature among Klal Yisrael, maybe in the beginning they were true prophets. Just like Chazal say, Hananya ben Ezar was a true prophet in the very beginning. He just went sour. He turned sour. So maybe they were true prophets. So what do you mean? We have established. We have credentials. We have been tested and proven. So again, we have exactly the same thing appearing once again, where the prophets are arguing who is the true prophet, which prophet is saying the real thing. The Hananya ben Ezar is saying that we are the real, and over here they claim, no, we are the real prophets, and we say that it's mutter. So what did Nebuchadnezzar do? So Nebuchadnezzar said, we're also prophets. And they said to Nebuchadnezzar, Hashem did not deliver the message to Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Lididon Amarlan. Hashem delivered the message to us. So Amaluhu. So Nebuchadnezzar said, you know what? Let me test you. I threw Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah into the Kivshan HaEsh. So you know what? Let me throw you also into the Kivshan HaEsh, and we'll see if you survive. Ana de'ina de'avdekinu ki hechi de'badekisinu l'chananya mishlo v'azaryam. Amrulei, not so fast. Don't throw us into the furnace, because we are only two. And Hananya, mishlo v'azaryam, with three. So when there are three tzaddikim, the zuchus of three tzaddikim is megin. But when there are only two tzaddikim, it's not potent. It's not potent enough to protect from the fire. Inon t'losahave avanan train. It's not going to work. Really, we are tzaddikim. It's just not going to work. Amalu, okay. So you know what? Let's get a third. Select a... Can't be a vice president. Who's going to be the vice president? Select the third. Select the third person to join you in the furnace so that you should increase your zuchus. Amar luhu bacharu luchoin man debiisu behadaihu. Select the third person. Amru, so they say, you know what? We'll select Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. He was 100% known to be a very, very holy tzaddik that would stand the fire. So he was forced, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol was summoned, he was brought, and he was thrown into the furnace together with these two Rishoyim, Tzidkiah and Achav. Sare, they thought, Leisei Yehoshua, the Nefesh Zuchusei, they thought that, and even though we are liars, they knew they're liars, and they knew that they're going to be, they on their own, they would be burnt to a crisp, but in the Zuchus of Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, they will survive when they attach themselves to his coattails. Umeganalon, he'll protect us. So Asiyuhu, they brought him, Shadinu, they were all thrown into the fire, but it didn't work. Inu Iklu Yehoshua Kohen Gadol Ichruche Ma'ane. These two people, that's what the Pasuk here says explicitly, they were burnt to a crisp. They were toasted. They were toasted. Their skeleton remained in order to serve as a reminder for everyone not to follow in their ways. And indeed, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol survived, but his clothing was singed. It wasn't completely burnt, but he had to send to the cleaners. Had to send to the cleaners to get rid of the smell. So let's see. Shenemar, this is after Chanukah. This is what we mean by Chanukah. Vayareni es Yeshua in Zecharia, in Sefer Zecharia, one of the Treyos of Vayareni Yeshua HaKoyin Godel Omar Lufnei Malach Hashem, and there the Vayom Vichsiv Vayom Hashem La Satan, Yigar Hashem Bechol HaSatan, Satan, stay away from Yeshua HaKoyin Godel, do not let him be touched by the fire. Okay, so. Oh, right. So that's more. We go further. We go further. Amale. Now we get to that one moment. So Yeshua HaKoyin Godel. So he indeed survived. These people, they died. So everything was over. So now we know the truth. The truth was Hananya, Mishael, Azariah with the Nevi Emes. Hashem is Soni Zima. From this we learn. Laman Yishmu v'Yiron v'Lo Yizidun. Oh, there's no such thing in the history of Klal Yisrael where HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can ever tell a person to commit adultery under no condition. That's what some want to say is that if Bizman Hazeh, a woman comes along and says that this man came to her, there's no excuse. You see that there's no such thing, it's impossible. There's no Hayrah Shah when it comes to Zima. Impossible. Amale, so now Nebuchadnezzar says to Yoshua, Yodana did tzadika at. I knew in advance that you were a righteous person, but I thought you were even more righteous. If you were truly righteous, the way you present yourself, the way that true to your reputation, it should not be that your clothing were singed. Why were your clothing? Because when Hananya, Mishael, Azariah were thrown into the furnace, right, threw them into the furnace, not only did they survive, their clothing was perfect. It didn't even smell. It was perfect. So my time, Ahanyabach Purtanur, why was it that a small amount of fire did singe you? Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, lo ahanibahu klal, omar lay. So they said to him, inu tulosa havu va'anochad. The answer is, interesting idea, that they were three. When there are three, when you're three tzaddikim together, then the zechus is that much greater. It protects even your clothing. Then then you're of special, extra special kedusha. I'm only one. I am together with two rishoyim, and therefore I didn't have that zechus. Amalei, oh, but what about Avraham Avinu? He was thrown by Nimrod into the Kivshan Oesh. The Amr of Yachid Ahava. So here he says, Hasam lo havi rishon bahade. Avraham was all alone, and that's why he was not singed. V'loy isyai v'shus lenu, therefore there was no rishus for the fire to enter the furnace at all, to touch him whatsoever. Hocha, I was together with two rishoyim. Oil Rasha, Oil Shchainai, Hacha Haver Shamahadi. Therefore, the Hisyahev Rishus Lenura, fire was given permission to enter and to bring harm, and therefore I also had to suffer the consequences. Hainu Dami Inshe, Trey Ude, this is an expression. If you have two Ude, Yivishay the Chadritiv, if you have three locks, two of them are dry and one is moist. The one that's moist would not burn on its own, but once already the two logs that are dry are burning, in the mail it's going to cause the log that is wet to burn as well. Uktan yivishi liritiva, the dry ones will cause the wet one to burn as well, even though I on my own would not be subject to fire because of my zuchus, my merits. But being that I am together with two rishon, that's why to some degree I was affected, I was singed, the principle of oil rasha, oil shchenai. Now Chazal say that this answer, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Yeshua Kohen Gadol gave the Nebuchadnezzar, was not a correct answer. The reason was because he was partially also a sinner, because his two children were intermarried. He had two sons, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, who were married to non-Jewish women, and it's described there in the Nevuah that we read on Hanukkah, he was wearing dirty clothing. And Chazal interpreted the dirty clothing to mean that his children were intermarried. So what does that have to do with the father? He should have raised them better, or at least he should have protested. Even sometimes you have no really control over the chinuch habanim, it's only how much you can do, but at least he had the ability in Chazal's eyes to make a macha. He could have protested, and he would have, his macha would have been would have been effective in having them to some degree, even if it did not help, at least he had that duty to make a macha, and the fact that he did not make a macha, that's why he is partially guilty, and that's why the pasuk describes him as wearing dirty clothing. Therefore, that's why it fits the same expression that his clothing were singed, that when he was thrown into the fire together with these two rishoyim, he was partially punished. His clothing was singed as a reminder that there is room for improvement in your life as well. Okay, so this is the story, the basic ideas of Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shchenov, Chinuch, and the difference between the Navi Sheker and the Navi Emes. And now I think when you go back to the Psukim, the Psukim have a much richer translation. Because the question that we started with, when we started, was why is there so much repetition? If we go back to pasuk, let's read. You see, pasuk Chaf Aleph begins with the words "Karam Hashem Tzivakos Lokeishol El Achavil Ben Koyloya Vel Tzidkiyah Ved Silkiyah Ben Maaseya Hanibim Lachem B'Shmishak." First, it says they were false prophets. Okay, that's one thing. The next thing, when we go to pasuk Chaf Gimel Yan Asher Asu Nivala BeYisrael. They have committed a nevala. What is the nevala? Vayinafu es nesheire ehen. Notice it does not say the wife of Nebuchadnezzar or Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. There are two versions of the Chazal. Either it was his daughter or it was his wife. But that's not how it started. Everything starts it started in a way where they were easily able to get away with it. They started with a common woman. No one could do anything to them. They were able to pull it off. Then, as they succeeded, the stakes got higher. They wanted to do the Aver with more chashuva people, more beautiful people, whatever it was, until they got to the Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. Now, here's what's important. Now, when the pasuk says, Vayidabru davar bishmi sheker, according to the Gemara, this is not going back to the false nevuah. The false nevuah was already discussed. This refers to when they were caught. When they were caught, Nebuchadnezzar said, "What are you doing?" So they continued the lie and they said, "Hashem told us to do the Avera." This is not a Nevuah. This is a different type. Nevuah generally is for Klal Yisrael. They were giving over words of prophecy to Klal Yisrael that Golus is going to come to an end in 2 years. Now we're discussing purely in matter relating to their private sin. They committed adultery, and when they were caught, They were asked to defend themselves. They were about to. They were trying, and they did in other instances. But now, when they were caught in this particular instance, they spoke falsehood by saying, "In the name of Hashem, Hashem told us that we should do this." This would send a very, very horrible precedent in the Klal Yisrael, because we do know that something called Torah Hashah. We do know that there are times in halacha when the general halacha is suspended. The classic example is Eliyahu b'Har HaKarmel. Eliyahu was allowed to offer a carbon to Hashem outside of the Beis HaMikdash on Obama b'Shas Isser Bomas. That's shocking, because we have one of the animamins is that the Torah would never be bottled, would never be exchanged. And yet Eliyahu b'Har HaKarmel was able to offer a sacrifice, something which is clearly shloik halacha. That's very difficult in the world of halacha, how to deal with that. Chayra Shah. So who knows, maybe a person will come along and start saying that you can change the Chayra Shah, you could commit adultery. What they were doing over here was extremely, extremely dangerous for the history of Klal Yisrael to say, Chayra Shah, that Hashem told us to live with the wife of Nebuchadnezzar, to have a child, and the child's going to be the Mashiach Hashem. And these people were established to be known prophets. If they would get away with it, who knows the repercussions of Klal Yisrael. When they were killed, when this thing played out, it was very important, because this was a message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as Hayro HaShah with regard to Zima, Gili Arayis. Does not exist, period. Categorically does not exist. Maybe when it comes to a carbon, there it could be, but not when it comes to something like this. Okay, now we go to the next sugya. Next sugya is Pasuk of Dal. V'el Shemayahu Hanechelami Toymar Lemar. Another individual, another troublemaker. Where we're singling out all the troublemakers in these sections. What did this fellow do? So did Hashem say concerning him, Yam because Hashem shalachta v'shimcha. A very interesting word. In your name. Shimcha, the shoresh of the word shimcha means shame. You sent a letter in your name. Obviously, this man was a very influential person. And when he signed the letter, people took note. He sent a letter, b'shimcha, sefarim, books, el kol ha'am asher b'Yerushalayim. This man was one of the people that was in the category of the chorosh v'hamasker. He was exiled with Yechoniah to Bavel. And he was living in Bavel. He still had influence, and he sent a letter to Yerushalayim, and in the letter he basically said that I hear there's a fellow by the name of Yirmiyahu who's making trouble, and what's going on? How do you people in Yerushalayim let him walk the streets? Get this man off the streets. He's a madman. He's saying things that are not true. He's saying things that is going to be Golus for 70 years. What are you people doing? And he was an influential person. And when a letter came back from Bavel in his name, people took the letter seriously and they began to doubt the authenticity of Yirmiyah. El kol ha'am asher b'Yerushalayim b'el Tzefanya ben Ma'aseya, another person, he was the Koyein HaKoyein v'el kol ha'koyenim lemar. And he said, this was the message. Hashem nisancha koyein, you Tzefanya ben Ma'aseya, you have been given the gift of being the Koyein Gadol. Tachas Yehoyada HaKoyein, you have succeeded the previous Koyein Gadol, the famous Koyein Gadol Yehoyada HaKoyein. Liyos Pikidim Beis Hashem, and part of your mission, part of your duty is to appoint officers over the Beis Hashem, L'chol Ish Meshuga, and the officers are to oversee that you remove the Meshugayim, the crazy people off the streets. Here he's insulting Yirmiyah in a very, very disgusting way, calling Yirmiyah a Meshugana. Okay, that's a very insulting thing. Umisnabe, you know, it's interesting, someone told me yesterday that the debate between Clinton and Trump took place on the yard site of the Chofetz Chaim. In the history, these two people for the last how many months have been saying things about each other, have been saying things that have violated every single dot in Sefer Chofetz Chaim. If you want to learn the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, all you have to do is listen to what they say. The one thing they say, it's the opposite. This is the opposite. And the Chofetz Chaim, he mentioned that part of the thing of Chofetz Chaim is due to technology. One of the things Chofetz Chaim, at the end of his life, was very, very discussed very much is that how technology has changed the koyach of Lashon Hara. It used to be in the olden days, what already could you do? You say some Lashon Hara. How far can Lashon Hara go? You say to one person, another person, how much influence does the average person already have? But with technology, the telephone, the telegraph, which came out in his time, the koyach of Lashon Hara is magnified. 84, at least 84 million people, they say probably well over 100 million people when all the statistics come in, but for sure they know already, 84 million people watching two people say the worst nivo, the worst things you can possibly say. It's amazing, on the yard site of the Chofetz Chaim. And who is there greater than the Chofetz Chaim, who has brought to the world's attention the inyan of the Koyach HaDibur? Not just Lashon Hara, the Koyach HaDibur. Haloy Davar. What does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. I mean, what does this mean? It means you just can't say it's a coincidence. Nothing is a coincidence. It's certainly not when you're dealing with the Koyach HaDibur in front of an event that in the history of the world there has never been such an audience focusing on the Koyach HaDibur, on Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, Rechilis, Mosi Shemra, and also so part of, how did you say this about this one, and how did you call this one this name, and that. The whole thing revolved around the Koyach HaDibur. Haloy Davar. It's something which cannot be ignored. Okay, so let's go back. So he calls him a meshugah. This is a very powerful word. L'chol ish meshugah, you have been the Kohen Gadol, you have the ability to appoint officers to get the meshugahim off the streets. U'misnabei, people who are meshugah, misnabei, and here he means to prophesize falsely. V'nosata oso, and therefore I am demanding of you, the Kohen Gadol, to put him, to lock him up, to institutionalize him. V'nasata also el hamapeches. Hamapeches means a prison. It's a very word, the el hat sinoik. Sinoik are restraints. Some type of straitjacket. You put him in a prison and you protect him from society and protect him from himself. You put a person in the straitjacket to protect him from himself. After you put him in, lock him up in a room to protect him from society. So Yirmiyah should be protected from, you should protect society from Yirmiyah and protect Yirmiyah from himself. These are the two different expressions. Hamapeches, the El Hatzinoik in restraints. The Ato now, he continues in his words, Lomo Logo Arto the Yirmiyahu. Who am I referring to? Make no mistake. I'm not discussing the Stam Meshugayim that walk the streets. I'm referring to one very specific person who I call a Meshugana, and that is Yirmiyahu. Lama loy go'arta b'Yirmiyahu. Why have you now rebuked Yirmiyahu? Ha'anasosi, who comes from the city of Anasos. Don't go tell me there are many Yirmiyahs. Like as Yitzchak, as Pinchas, or Hafta, as this Yitzchak. Don't go make any excuses. Ha'anasosi, ha'misnabei lochem. So Hashem says, because what is he saying? He's saying, ki al kein shalachi lein babel lemar. He sent a message. He sent us Svarim, and in the Svarim he said the most ridiculous thing, that we are going to be here in Babel for 70 years. He al kein shalach ilein Babel lemar arucha hi, you're here for the long term. Binu vatim, build homes, v'shevu and dwell, v'nutu ganos, plant gardens, v'ichlu es piryam, find vayikra, tzefanya, koin es ha-sefer, ha-zebi, ozne, Yirmiyahu ha-navi. And he read Yirmiyah, Tzefanya, the coin, he read the Sefer in the ears of Yirmiyah Hanavi, telling Yirmiyah, I accept the words of Shemayahu Hanechelami, I accept his words, and therefore, you better stop saying these harsh words. So what's going to happen? Let's read the end of the pasuk. Prepare. We don't have time to go through the parak. By Yehi Devar Hashem El Yirmiyahu Lemar, Hashem said the word towards the following words to Yirmiyahu Lemar. Shlach al kol agoyle Lemar. You Yirmiyahu should deliver the following message. Koyam Hashem El Shemayahu Hanechelami. I have a message back for this man, Shemayo Hanechelami, who used his influence to send a Musar to the Tzefanya, the Kohen Gadol, Yan, Asher Nibu Luchem Shemayo, because you gave over these words of prophecy, Vaniloy Shalachtiv, you and I never sent you to send this message, Vaivatach Eschem Al Shoker, and you encouraged, you guaranteed the people of Yerushalayim that they should not worry and everything is okay, the Churban is not going to happen and we're coming back home within 2 years. L'chein koyim Hashem, hinani, you're going to get what you deserve also. Hinani feiked al shemayohu hanechelami v'al zaro, I'm going to visit upon him punishment. Lo yiyeh lo ish yoyshe b'soch am hazeh, he will not have a child, a man, that will sit among the people. And he will not see the good that I will do for my people. Because he has spoken falsehood on Hashem. He's not going to suffer the fate of having his body being toasted in an oven. But it says here a terrible curse that there will be nothing will come from him, there will be no descendants, it seems like it means there will be no descendants, he will die out in Golis, and he and his children, nothing good will come from him. Okay, so let's go through this, let's see how much we can do right now, go through the entire story in the Mepharshim, starting with Pasuk Chof Dalet. In the Mitzudos David, the El Shemayahu, Gam Zemidivri HaSefer Shalach LeBabel, the Omar Shashem Omolo Shayoma, because it's Al Shemayo HaNechalami. This also, what we're about to read, is also a message that was written in the book that Yirmiyah sent to Babel concerning Shemayahu. And the message will come at the very end, as we read at the end of those last few psukim. Pasuk of Hey, Yan, Bavur Sheshalachta, Hine. Igorois mishmecha levat loy b'shem kol b'nei ha'goyla l'chi'ilu ha'kol toli b'chol levat. The arrogance of sending a letter to the Kohen Gadol in your name alone, not in the name of the other zekenim, the other leaders. You took it upon yourself to send this letter to the Kohen Gadol and to tell him that this is what you should do. You should lock up Yirmiyah. Lemar v'chol dibarta b'ho igoros Hashem nisancha Kain Kosov Litzfanya, this was the message he sent to Tzfanya the Kohen Gadol. Hine Hashem Hamid Oischol Yois Kohen, Rotzolayma, Liosar HaKohanim, Bimokom Yehoyod HaKohen. Hashem has given you the gift of being the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, it is your duty to lock up all of the Meshugayim. You took over, you succeeded Yehoyod HaKohen, Lihios Pekidim, Lehashkiach Liyois Mimunim Beves Hashem Al Kolich Meshuga, Umisnabe Dilavar Shigoin Milibo. It's important to silence the press. Interesting idea that he's giving him a message that there's no freedom of speech. That's what he's literally saying. He's saying over here is that you are the Kohen Gadol, and it is the role of the Kohen Gadol to suppress free speech, because the free speech is influencing people in the wrong way. And the wrong way here was to listen to the Devar Hashem. That's what he's telling. If that's your role, that was of course false. Hashem does want there to be free speech. What?
It's not in the job description.
What's not? To being a Kohen Gadol? So he's saying it is. He's saying that part of the job description of the Kohen Gadol is to suppress Mishugoyim. And what are the Mishugoyim people that are saying things that should not be heard?
And this, the Kohen is the Shaifa.
This idea of free speech, freedom, free speech, is a very modern concept. Okay, it only exists in America for the last 200 years, not even. Right, even in America started, it wasn't necessarily free speech. Free speech only is value even last 100 years, not even. But before a modern society, no such thing as free speech. Go back and look at all the ancient old governments in Europe. Free speech? What are you kidding? You criticize the government, yeah, it's chopped off. That's the way it was until recent times. So this idea, so you see over here also a suppression of free expression.
There was a concept of free speech only for the educated.
But even for the educated, you probably was limited. Yeah.
What you have, the expression and on the diploma, all rights and privileges,
yeah,
etc. That was the right of
a diploma to say what they want. Very interesting. It's amazing the world that we live in, that you can say things about the President of the United States. Go turn on the radio, listen to Rush Limbaugh, and you can say these things in front of, he claims he has 10 million listeners. And you can say some of the things that come out of his mouth. The person is probably the most powerful person in the world. Okay, he has an enormous influence, enormous power. You can just press a few buttons and the whole world can come to an end. And you can say the nastiest things and be a multi-billionaire. Multi-millionaire. No, it's a good thing. I don't know if it's a good, but it's an amazing thing. If you just digest,
he has the power to say the king has no clothing.
You just digest what the world that we live in today. It's just amazing. Is it good or bad? Where is this going to lead? How far will we go with this? It's frightening. It's frightening how far it can go. But that's the reality. Put him, lock him up. If you look at the Mitzudot Sion, he says, the Mapeches says, shame shall base hasohar. Prison, a dungeon. Put him in the dungeon. It's the name, why is it called Mapeches? I don't know, Mapeches means to turn upside down. Upside down. Why upside down? I don't know.
Well, Rashi explains. A kippah is a
dome. A dungeon, a bunker.
A room in which somebody was confined.
So there's a size of your body. Solitary confinement. Let's see Pasuk of Zayin, V'ata now. Hoyl since V'chein. Lama afilu loy go'arta. Go'arta nizifa b'yirmiyo. I have the word twice. Lo go'arta. I have the word, it's repeated twice in my text. Do you have the word? Okay, I have a mistake. I have a mistake here in my text. Mark it off. Afilu lo go'arta nizifa b'yirmiyo ha-menabe lechem divrei shigoyoy miliboy. Why don't you shout? Why don't you suppress Yirmiyo, who prophesies words of nonsense that he fabricates from his heart? The kotzer ha-davar b'muvan. There are some missing words in the pasuk, but it's self-understood. How do I know that he's saying nonsense? Because I have in front of me the letter that he sent. He sent a letter. It reached Bavel, and it says in the letter in Bavel that you should buy houses, get married, plant vineyards, and settle down because you're not coming home for 70 years. Aruchahi hagolus hazeh she'atem ba'at hiyeh lezman aruch. For binu sham batim v'teishu bochem ki lo seitzu b'sham b'zman kov. You're not leaving for a long time. Uch aymer haloi advarim o'ele l'shigoyin yichashu. These words are nonsense. Ki lo kein diber Hashem imadi. He's claiming, this man Shemaya is claiming that he is a prophet. And my prophecy is that we're going to leave very soon. V'yitachen, it's very probable. Sha'ad l'shalach yirmi ha'sefer b'yad el oshah. Before that, Yirmiyah sent the book through the messenger El Asha. He was the messenger that we learned about in the previous parak. Shalach Yirmiyah mikaydim hadvarim ha'ila balpe oy b'michtav. These words were sent either by a letter or balpe. It was known. This was known. In other words, he was sent later. El Asha was a later point of time, it seems. I don't know. But the words of Yirmiyah were known. And that's why he's coming to say that you got to do something very quick. Pasuk of Tes, Vayikra Tzefanya, he read the letter. Gam Zemidiri Hasefer Shekosav Aleihem, Shetzefanya is Kara Hasefer Lefanov, he read the letter. Vera Kichain Kosav, Yirmiyah says, I saw my own eyes what it said in the letter, and it was read before me. Vyavsha Yirmiyah Atzme Kosav Adavar, Le'omar Bezozne Ozni Kimedaber Ba'ado Kiim. He's giving a report of exactly what happened. It's not exactly the same nusach. Even though he's writing this in first person, what happened to me, when he describes it in third person. So even though Yirmiyahu over here just describing the sequence of events, even though it seems that he's writing it about someone else, he's really writing it about himself, but in order to make, that's the style of writing. Why are we repeating this theme? Because since we have digressed into another matter, we have to return to the topic. So we go back to the topic. I'm going to punish you. This sin I'm going to remember. L'hashiv gimul al Shemaya v'yal zaro. Shemaya will suffer for what he has done, for calling Yirmiyah a meshugah, and for demanding that he be imprisoned. Lo yihi eloi ritzon eloimar, lo yihi mizaroi ish yoshev b'moshav hasarim v'hazikenim. He will not have a child that will sit among the leaders. Now, it does not say that he will not have any descendants. V'lo yir b'toiv, hu ha-hashava min ha-goyla, he will not return to Eretz Yisrael, al Hashem, ba'avur Hashem, because he has spoken falsehood against Hashem, regarding Hashem. Dovar ha-musar mimenu, ma'ash lo'y amra, he has spoken words that are a contradiction to what Hashem truly has said. All right, let's do the Rashi, then we'll do the redact tomorrow. Let's do the Rashi's. First, the Rashi concludes here, Pasuk of Dalet, Hanachalami, Shemakom, he was Shemayohu, Hanechalami. Okay, from the name of a place. Nesoncha Kohen, he's complaining to Tzefanya, it's your job to get the Meshugah off the street. El Tzefanya Kosav Kain, Pikidim, Mumunim, Ma'apechas, Kippa. The prison, the dungeon, Hatzinoik is Sadon. Sadon is restraints. Either all different pictures of what the Sadon looks like, either for the hands or for the feet. Whatever it is, it's basically a straitjacket. Or we would call some type of.
Or.
Yeah.
Stocks is
like it's a restraint. You put your hands and they don't move. It's a restraint for the person. Pasuk Chavches ki al Shalach ki Yesh l'chol ligor boy, I am demanding of you, Tzefanya, that you should shout al Asher Shalach ilenu bavo lemar, that you should shout and you should rebuke
Yirmiyah for sending letters to Babel, which state, Aruchahi Geluschem Sham, Geluschem Sham, that your exile in Babel will be for a very long time. Al Kain, Kmo Al Asher, because he has done so, that's why I complain to you. Okay, so this concludes the Rashi. We'll do Yirtz Hashem tomorrow, the Radak, and continue forward.